A mother gives birth to a baby. Now what? Dede, this is fresh for you. Mother gives birth to baby. Now what?
Nurture them.
Nurture them, okay. Yeah. What have you been doing with Shekinah?
Feed her.
Okay.
Washer.
Changer. Burper.
Hold her.
Talk to her.
Yeah. Talk to her. Okay. What does a baby need?
Care.
What's that?
Care.
Food. Mm-hmm. A loving home.
Training.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So really, giving birth is the easy part. Now you have to raise a child. And I'm not here to say giving birth is easy. That's not what I'm...
Guy.
I know, that's not what I'm saying.
Having the child. 9 months.
And so... Yeah. But the raising the child part is... It's a bigger deal. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God." To Jesus, conversion is birth. It's a new birth. And a new birth begins a new life. Now the hard part begins. Just like with people, with physical birth. You need new practices. You need new routines. You need new care. You need food. But it's spiritual. So, then what are the practices of a new life in Christ? What are the habits of the spiritual life? So in Acts 2, Peter preaches and 3,000 people basically come to faith at Pentecost. They're born again. So what does God do with these 3,000 spiritual babies? And that's what happened. I mean, can you imagine the discipleship logistics involved? And all of a sudden, you have 3,000 brand new Christians, and what do we do with them?
What do they do? They're like, what do we do?
That's right.
Yes.
That is actually what's going on here. So, here's what we got. Acts 2. We're just going to look at verse 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers." They devoted themselves. That's how it begins. And that word means something like continued faithfully, remained constant. It has to do with again and again. You keep doing it. It's repetitive. It's a habit. It's not a one-time thing. When you devote yourself to something, you continue to do it. You don't devote yourself to something and do it once and you're done. They kept at it. What that means is the things he's talking about here are habits, not one-time actions. They're commitments. Not nice things to try out. And the earliest believers, which is what we've got right here, were devoted to certain practices, committed to what would help them grow in Christ. So, what are they? What are they committed to? The apostles' teaching. the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Now, this section it's descriptive. It's describing what happened. But the practices here, nonetheless, are essential for spiritual health. If you're going to be spiritually healthy and you neglect these things, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. You need to pay attention to these things. And so you neglect them, you don't grow up. We'll put it that way. In fact, without them, you might even die spiritually without some of these practices. So, church, let's talk. How can you grow in Christ? One, devote yourself to the Scriptures. For the believers here at Pentecost, the people in Acts 2, the 3,000, they could find the apostles' teaching simply by going and listening to it. The apostles are like right there. And they could come to the temple and hear them talk. The apostles may have, you know, gone from house to house teaching, and, you know, they could have gone there, and they actually had the apostles right there. They could shake their hands and give them a hug, and we can't do that. For you and me today, the apostles' teaching can be found only in the Bible. That's where the apostles' teaching is. What that means is if you neglect the Scriptures, you are neglecting the apostles' teaching. You will not grow. I'll just say, you will not grow. You neglect the Bible and you're going nowhere spiritually. The Word of God is your spiritual food. And so how would your health go, physical health, if you just decided, I really don't want to eat? You're not going to go very far that way. But people do this all the time spiritually. They say they're Christians, but they won't feed themselves on spiritual food. They'll neglect the food of the Bible, and they grow weak. It's just like your body starts growing weak without food, and your soul will do the same thing without God's Word. Think of a baby. If a baby never wants to eat, what would you conclude? Failure to thrive, okay.
That's a real thing.
Whatever, there may be other explanations, but you know this. We got problems. If a baby doesn't want to eat, we got problems, guys. Okay, if someone claims to be a Christian but never wants the Bible, we got problems. Serious problems. Big problems. You are to devote yourself to the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean we think the Bible is God. We devote ourselves to the Bible because the Bible points us to God, not because it is God. We don't worship the Bible, but we worship what the Bible points us to. You are to commit yourself to the Bible. The Word of God is your, as Job put it, necessary food. And one of the marks of a healthy Christian is a hunger for God's Word. That's when you see someone who's hungry for God's Word, that's actually a good sign. Do you have that? If you do, then you commit to daily time in God's Word. That's part of just feeding yourself. You know, you eat every day. Oh, same thing spiritually. You need to be eaten every day spiritually. And so church, I'm gonna challenge you to this, to devote yourself to God's Word, to read it daily, to meditate on it daily, to memorize it, to hear it preached. That's what we're doing right now. And to do those things from the heart. It's not really a rote thing. It's meant to come from the heart. When you devote yourself to something, there's a heart element in devotion. And so you should never be tired of God's Word. Oh man, I'm just so tired of that. No. This is part of your own spiritual health. Second thing that's part of your spiritual health. Devote yourself to the fellowship. That's the second thing in Acts 2:42. That word fellowship, koinonia is the word that's used there, has to do with what is shared, what is common amongst God's people. It's used of the sharedness in a marriage. So think about a marriage. Marriage, by definition, includes everything is shared. That's what marriage actually is. Take out sharedness from a marriage and you're sort of taking out the marriage from the marriage. That's central to it. In the fellowship, we have shared lives. When you devote yourself to the fellowship, when you continue faithfully in the fellowship, when you're remaining constant in the fellowship, you're committing. It's a commitment to a community, to a shared life with other people. That's what's going on. The church is a body. You know, Paul gives us that picture. We're a body. The church is not a hand by itself. The hand needs the body. The hand shares life with the foot. They share a common life. A hand is not a foot, but they share a common life together. The eye shares life with the ear. Now, here in America, you know, we're founded on independence. We have the day we celebrate our country is called Independence Day. And independence is huge in America. And so America is part of the culture. We're very independent. Christianity is not. And so, you know, you're all here in America. In this respect, though, don't become American. Healthy Christians devote themselves to one another. That means more than Sunday morning. A fellowship is a communal body. That's what a fellowship is. And so you isolate yourself. You're like a hand with no body. That's what's going on when you isolate yourself from the body. And that's not healthy. First of all, it's not healthy for the hand, because the hand needs the body to really function. But it's also not healthy for the body, because the hand actually contributes really good things to the body. And so the body needs you, and you need the body, and devote yourself to it. Don't hang back and say, I got other things to do. You need me, and I need you. And we need one another. This is part of the spiritual fabric of the universe. God created human beings this way. He created us for community. And he did that because God himself is a community. You have three in one. The very foundation of the entire universe is communal. It's why we are meant to be that way as well. We're meant to be communal. And so here in America, I suppose the big excuse is time. I just don't have time for God's people. Then make time. That's an excuse. I don't have time is an excuse. What that means is you are doing something with your time. Cut some of that stuff out so that you can spend time for the fellowship. The practices that the early church is devoting itself to are the kind of practices you build your life around. What that means is these are the kinds of things, apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer, these are the kinds of things that you set up in your life first. And then, if you have time, you bring in other things that, whatever you want to do. But these practices should be the foundation of your life. Not the, I don't have time for that. I'm busy with this, but I don't have time for that. You're backwards. You need to have time for that, and maybe you're too busy for what you're doing. That's how you need to think. These practices are the foundation of your spiritual health. And often the other things we fill our time with are good things. I'm not saying that they're bad things. They can be very good things. They're just not foundational things. There's no ultimacy to them. And so our problem isn't really a time problem. It's a priority problem. We have different priorities. And so think of it this way. I want you to think on the line of priorities right now, real fast. Your family. Don't you make a priority to be with your family? That's a big priority in your lives. And it should be. Your family is important. Okay, guys, the fellowship is your family. If you make a priority for your family, make a priority for your fellowship. We're brothers and sisters. The New Testament used family language all the time for the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, and Timothy is Paul's son in the Lord. And we have this language all throughout the New Testament of we're family. Okay, think of it that way. You're my brothers and sisters. So I'm going to challenge you, devote yourself to the fellowship, to one another. And it's going to mean more than Sunday morning. It's going to involve a commitment to one another, maybe opening your home to each other, time. It's going to involve time. Sharing life together. A koinonia is a sharing. And so that needs to be part of God's people, of what they're doing. And I'm challenging you this because it's for your own spiritual health and mine. This is part of our spiritual health in Christ. Third thing, it's part of our spiritual health. Devote yourself to the breaking of bread. Now, that phrase, the breaking of bread, there's honest debate over what that's actually talking about. And some say it refers to a common meal that they would have where they would share a meal together. And in the scripture, the only other place where we have the phrase breaking of bread is in Luke, and same author, and it refers to a common meal that Jesus had with the two guys on the road to Emmaus, and their eyes were opened with the breaking of bread as they're just sitting down having a meal together. That's the only other time this phrase is used in the New Testament. And so some say that's what this is talking about, that the believers are gathering together for a common meal. And some others argue that it's a reference to communion. And communion obviously came to be called the breaking of bread. And of course, Jesus broke the bread for the communion. And so we have this, so what is this referring to? Is this referring to a common meal, or is this referring to communion? And when I look at it, I actually think the either or thing is not where we need to go, because of this. In the first century, communion took place within the context of a common meal. And so communion and common meal actually went together in the first century church. Sometimes I wonder and think, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should, when we do communion, today communion is just generally a part of a church service. I sometimes think maybe we should do communion as a, you know, let's have a meal together and we'll do communion in the middle of the meal. And that's what they did. And so the debate between is this a meal or is this referring to the bread and the wine, I think is not necessarily a debate we need to worry a whole lot about. Because I think it's both. And so what I'm actually going to just preach on right now is both of those practices. The common meal, the sharing a meal together, but also communion. And so I'm going to talk about both of those. So, first, you devote yourself to gathering around the table with God's people. That's where you get to know people. That's where your shared theology gets personal. That's where people are just themselves. That's where they're in a more informal environment. And you just get to know one another that way. It's real. There's a realness to just hanging out with people. That's really what this is. It's why a day on Friday nights, we have dinner together. This is why. It's an important part of what we do on Friday nights. And wherever you find strong community, you often find people gathering for meals. Those things go together. So I want to encourage you to do that. Get together with one another around a meal. I'm basically giving you permission to have fun with one another. And not only that, I'm saying it's biblical. And it's for your own good. And it's spiritual. And it's like, hey, you know, this one should be easy. And so that on one level, that seems so earthy and unspiritual. You know, let's have some chicken. And or whatever. But I want you to see that eating together and enjoying one another's company together is spiritual. I want you to see that. In fact, it's an important part of your spiritual growth. So have fun together. Who doesn't want that? And so doing that will actually help you in your walk with God. So that's the first part of breaking bread. The second part often included communion. The meal often included communion. And so the reason why, probably, I mean, officially we don't know the reason why. I'm making an educated guess as to why they would do communion in a meal. It's because the very first communion, the Last Supper, took place in the context of a meal. They were having a meal. Jesus broke the bread, gave the cup, and this is my body, this is my blood, and they drove on with the meal. And I probably think that's the reason why the first church, the earliest church, adopted that practice. They're just following what Jesus did when they did that. Now, this also is central to your growing in Christ, because communion is about the cross. A Christian who forgets the cross loses his way. The cross is central to who we are. And you need to participate with God's people in the body and the blood of Christ. The cross needs to be part of who you are. And eating it and drinking it reminds you of who you are. So in communion, you're sort of taking the cross inside you. And so we are people of the cross. This is who we are. It's part of our identity. And we need to be devoted to the body and the blood. Now, Scripture doesn't say how often you're supposed to practice communion. But I will say this, a church that doesn't practice communion is problematic, because you're to remember what Jesus did on the cross regularly. That's an important part of the church. And we're to do it together. Communion is communal. And so it's part of your spiritual health. Okay, finally, the last practice that you're to devote yourself to are the prayers. The NIV translates this just prayer. And that's actually a little, it's true. I mean, Christians should devote themselves to prayer. So I'm not knocking the NIV. It's not saying something that's false. But it's a little broad for what the text says. Literally, the article, the, is there. And the word prayer is plural, the prayers. It really literally says the prayers. And the NIV has translated that to prayer, generically, kind of. Which of course, is true. The ESV captures it better. Devote yourself to the prayers. Which is probably something, you know, I'm going to preach that you should devote yourself to prayer, by the way, that the NIV is saying. I am going to talk about that. But this is probably a little bit more specific than the generic prayer. This is likely referring to the times of prayer that the church would have. I mean, we've already read in Acts chapter 1 that they are meeting regularly for prayer. That's an ongoing thing in the life of the church, and we're going to actually encounter that again in Acts as we move into the future of Acts. And so, and these prayers are most likely corporate than private. These are the prayers when the church would gather together to pray. That's what this is. The modern equivalent would be a prayer meeting. That would be the modern equivalent of this. But also, you know, we have times of prayer here in the service. We just had one today, earlier. And so that's part of the church gathering for prayers. Both of those things would be true. So then, yes, what the NIV says, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer on your own. Make time for it. Just as I said with the scriptures, prayer is foundational, or with the fellowship as well. Prayer is foundational. Don't live a life that has time for Instagram and the news and the latest movie, but no time for prayer. That's backwards. That's a priority issue again. That's not a time issue. It's a priority issue. Make time to pray. Ask God to help you, because you'll need his help, because Satan will not want you to pray. And if it's just you going up against Satan, it's going to be hard. You're going to need God's grace to do that. But at the same time, I'm going to say, make time for corporate prayer. That's also an important part of your spiritual health. You need to be praying on your own, yes. You also need to be praying with God's people, yes. It's part of your spiritual health. It's going to help you walk with God. When you devote yourself to the prayers of God's people as well, participate in them. If you're afraid, my English isn't good, I can't pray. Pray in your language. But pray. When the church gathers, pray. Participate in it. Don't just sit and listen to other people pray. You be a part of it too. That doesn't help you. And it doesn't help the others. See, we're a community. This is a community praying, and not, three or four people praying. We're to be a community doing that. So I just want to encourage you, participate. So then, church, I'm challenging you, one, to be in God's Word daily and to make time for that, to regularly participate in the fellowship with one another, to eat together. That's an easy one. To participate in the body and blood of Christ. And to join us during the week to pray. And to participate in the prayers when you're a part of them. These practices, these are habits that the early church had. And they are basic and normal for God's people. And you need to see them that way. This isn't some special thing. This is just basic, normal Christianity. This is sort of living out your faith. Now, there's more involved in living out your faith, obviously. But these are foundational things for living it out. This is part of your own spiritual growth. Day-day, we went through spiritual formation on Friday nights, and these practices were part of that. And so they're part of your spiritual health. They're also part of the spiritual health of the church. When a hand hurts, the body hurts. And so it hurts the body to hurt the hand. And so that's just how it is. That's how we are as a group, as a body. call on God's grace for you to do these things. Because you might have to make changes. And I will say this, the Christian life is a life of change. If you never change, you're not walking with God. Because He's going to call you at times to make significant changes. That's part of growth. And sometimes we don't like that. We don't like to change because life is comfortable, right? But if you're going to grow, life gets uncomfortable sometimes. And so in one or more of these areas, find some steps that God would have you take in order to commit to Christ's word, to Christ's people, to Christ's cross, to the prayers of Christ's church. Your own spiritual health and that of the church depends on your commitment in these areas. So let me pray. Lord, I pray first for myself that by your grace, you would make me a man devoted to your word, your people, your cross, prayers. And I pray as well for my brothers and sisters here, the same thing. And that you would speak what that looks like specifically in each life. That we would be a people who desire more and more, hunger for your word and your people and your cross and your prayers. I bless your name, and I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.